I have hit record. Give me a sound test, Joe.
All right. A one, a two, a one, two, three, four.
That's nice. I'm not even going to do a sound test. I'm just going to start. Oh, that's loud. Sorry.
That was the least creative test that I could have ever come up with.
Hey, it all is good in the neighborhood. So here we are. Let's get started. Welcome, everybody, to another wonderful episode of Just Be Cousins. The podcast is kind of like a video game for your brain. No, it's like a video game for your soul. You know, it's like one of those 3D side-scrolling action sandbox survival shooters with RPG elements and a robust MOBA-themed character creation system designed from the middle out to provide bare-knuckle, breakneck, high-value return on investment, and a suite of structured reverse convertibles that offer low-risk slash high-yield macadamia-style je ne sais quoi, and the only exchangeable securities on the market today, promulgated for an extensive biblical exegesis, unmitigated by rational analysis, that takes it to 11 and is steeped in a Thracian cum Stygian theology, of which Forbes magazine said, quote, "It's not easy being Kanye, but that doesn't keep Mr. West from trying."
Wow.
Do you play video games, Joe?
I do.
Do you fuck them up like I fuck up that intro? Jesus.
Well, I thought our podcast was more like a broken Frogger machine in a fucking shitty bar.
It's not even a Frogger machine. It's a broken Frogger machine.
Yeah, it doesn't work. You could set your beer on it.
Dale, quit putting quarters in that thing. I'm telling you, it's broken. No, man, you just got to put them in the right there, way.
And the hooker can be like, you want to play Frogger? And then you go, nah, it's broken.
It's broken. Ah, okay. Hey, I use the word exegesis in that. I just want to, like, for the record.
Exegesis. Exegesis.
I don't want there to be any doubt that I pronounced it incorrectly, so.
Was that your computer internet robot telling you how to pronounce it correctly?
Exactly, yes.
Well, good job. Can you tell me what that is? Am I humiliating myself by not knowing what that is?
I don't know. I have no idea. Joe.
Sweet exegesis Christ.
Sweet exegesis Christ. That's what I'm going to start saying from now on. No, I use words, Joe, but I don't know what they mean. That is the secret. See, it's not... Let me put it this way. You don't have to be smart. You just have to sound smart. And one of the ways to sound smart is to sound like an asshole. And assholes use big words. Everybody knows that. Yeah.
I think aggression is mistaken for assertiveness, and assertiveness sounds like intelligence. But
yes,
that's all bullshit.
It's all bullshit, which is what we do on this show. We have been called by several hundred thousand people one of the smartest podcasts they have ever listened to. And that is bullshit. I made that up.
Spreading poor information.
Yep, fake
news.
That's
okay. That happens all the time. We're right. We've got feeling the pulse of society. Bad information everywhere.
That's
from
right.
Us and from everywhere else.
It's kind of a thing, you know. Like it used to be. So what I like to think of this is we live in the post-ironic age. And I know you really can't say what an age is until it's done. You know, like nobody knew how to make fun of the '90s when they were in the '90s. And I can remember being in the '90s thinking, "There's no way they're going to make fun of this because there's nothing here that's weird. It's just things are what they are." But now the '90s are well gone. It's easy to make fun of the '90s, right? And it's the same with...
I was right in the middle of the 90s, and I was like, well, finally we're done being cheesy, and everything is actually cool now.
Right, and then
I look back on that, and that's an embarrassing thought, really.
Yeah, and so for me to say that we're presently living in an era that I can define as the post-ironic is not something that I can really do, because we're still in the middle of it. But I'd like to think that one of the ironic things about living in the post-ironic age is that I can actually describe it ironically as being post-ironic. We've moved away from irony. It used to be the case that, and I don't want to get into politics, and I'm not going to say any names, but it used to be that the kind of leadership we have now would have only been something that was ever joked about or attempted in an ironic fashion. But we're beyond irony now. We don't even laugh at how pathetic things are. They're just pathetic. Let's move on.
Yeah, we're living in I don't want to call it amusing, but it's like a dystopian future that might have been depicted in some bad 1980s science fiction movie.
Exactly. And it's not something that's being done ironically. It's not I don't know how to put it. So irony is the root of all comedy.
It's presented deadpan. Deadpan would connote some sort of humor. No, it's presented with a straight face, serious.
Yeah, it's sort of I'm not trying to insult anybody when I say this, and I'm not trying to be insensitive, but I think it's kind of autistic. We live in autistic times. And I'm not trying to say that there's something wrong with autistic people. I mean, per se, I'm not even going to go so far as to say that autism is... I mean, I read an article once that said autism is just a different kind of personality. It's not even a handicap. Now, there's some people who are severely unable to take care of themselves who have been diagnosed with autism. So I'm not trying to blow sunshine up anybody's butt. But I'm also not trying to be insensitive. I don't know why. Nobody's fucking listening, so I might as well. But my point is, we live in autistic times. I'm going to have a beer now.
Look, I have a few things to say about autism in all seriousness. So listen up. It's pancakes on Tuesday. I'm a very good driver and hot water burn baby.
Yeah.
Now we can change the subject.
That was straight from the 90s too. All right, what do you want to talk about?
Yeah, see, I can't get away from the 90s.
You can't.
It was a formative time for me.
It was. It was a very formative time. I did not lose my virginity in the 90s, but I'll tell you what, Joe, I think I found it again. Whee! The jokes just roll. What was I going to say? Oh, yeah. So, yeah, our podcast is like a video game. Do you play any video games, Joe?
I do. Actually, it's funny because you introduced me to a video game. One, I'm just going to go – anybody that knows me will tell you that I just continue to kind of regularly play – and this is more of an 80s thing, 80s and 90s thing, but I play the old school Nintendo Entertainment System. I play those games still.
Okay.
And I've ventured into some of the newer games as the decades went by, but I pretty much stuck with that. Now, the game that I play more often than any game, you introduced me to in 2014, and I'm still playing the same game, and I haven't completed it yet, and they keep making more levels. Can you tell me, have I given you enough hints? What is that video?
Oh, yeah. I not only know what you're talking about, but appropriate to a quasi-theme we may strike upon during this podcast, it was actually my wife who introduced you to that game.
That's right. It was at your home,
yep.
But it was not you. It was your wife.
It was my wife.
Alice.
My wife, Allison, who introduced you and your wife, whose name is, I don't want to say it because you should say it.
Pauline.
I remembered that. I was just giving you the opportunity to speak. You and your wife were at my wife and I's. How do you say that?
All right, Boringer, Boringson, Boringstein. Tell us the name of the video game.
The name of the video game, which I'm about to tell you, is called... Are you ready for this? Here goes. And a one, and a two. No, I'm just playing. Actually, this is the truth about that game. I have been interviewed by the studio that makes it for the express purpose of testing their other video games.
Oh, my God. You're killing me. You're killing me over and over again, like Mario jumping off a cliff and then jumping off the same cliff again and again and again. You're killing me.
It is Plants vs. Zombies 2.
Yes. Plants vs. Zombies 2. Everybody play it. It's fantastic. It's addictive. Oh my God, it's great. But I'm sorry. I was so like burning inside for you to say the title of the game. I kind of missed your impressive story. You were interviewed by the studio executive from that game.
You could say that. It would be incorrect, but we live in a post-ironic era.
Like I said, I didn't hear you. You have to repeat it.
I don't remember what I said, but I'll tell you this. So my wife liked, before we had a child, to go to a gym that's about 4 miles from our house. And so she would go to the gym to do Zumba. And next to the gym, there was a bar, a German beer bar. And so she would drive to Zumba, and then I would run there. And then while I was waiting for her, I would go to get done. I would go get a beer. And then when I knew the class was going to be let out, I would walk out in front of the window where they were, the class people, and I would wait. And so I'd like you to picture this. Here is a very sweaty, slightly overweight, obviously drunk man staring into a large plate glass window at a room filled with women in yoga pants.
Okay.
Yeah. One of the people that my wife did the Zumba with, a friend she got to know, this woman, worked with a guy who moonlighted at a video game company, and he and I got to talking at a party once, a New Year's Day party, after about 19 mimosas, and I mentioned that I like video games, and he said, I work at a video game company. Would you like to come in and do some game testing? And if you do, we will give you $10. And I said, 10 American dollars? And he said, 10 American dollars. And a year later, he made good on that and brought me in. And so about half an hour, I played a video game. And I said, this game is so awesome. I'm going to use the $10 to buy Subway. And they said, you know what? Here's 20. Buy two.
All right. I'm going to smoke a cigarette.
Okay. How did you meet your wife?
I met my wife. She was at a Taco Bell where I was giving I was holding a meeting with my staff.
Yeah.
And, I was waving my hands around and being very assertive and showing all of my leadership skills, and really, it's everybody was there. The guy that washes the lettuce, the guy that puts the tacos together, the person at the drive-through, the guy with the mop. Everybody was there, and I was just coordinating, the operation. And my wife was just there for a taco, but she was like, "This fucking guy means business."
Yep.
The rest is history. She was interested. We talked. We dated. Something about, you really know you're dealing with an alpha when you see a Taco Bell manager facilitating a staff meeting.
I'm very curious. I think I've never heard the story before. She saw you as an alpha, or are you saying that you saw her as an alpha because she recognized your facilitating skills? Who's the alpha here?
She was the first woman to ever be truly impressed with me in any fashion, and so I had to do something about it.
So you saw her being impressed, and you decided, you know what, I'm going to step up my game. I'm going to say, yo, lettuce washer, it ain't all about iceberg. Try romaine every once in a while. Yo, taco creator, if you could just a little finesse, a little less stress. You hear what I'm saying? Yo, babe. Yeah, you. How about you and me get married in about 3 to 4 years, and then I talk about it on a podcast? What, you mean on the podcast can't see Jason doing a pantomime gesture right now, or the expression on his face, and therefore this is not even close to as funny as he thinks it is? Fuck.
Well, look, and I don't know if you caught this, but something really weird about that story is it was a huge mistake on my part, because I was having a staff meeting in the dining room portion of the restaurant, which is just super. People were trying to order tacos, but there wasn't. We were open, and people were coming in wondering, how the hell am I going to get a taco? It was just me and my staff sitting around at tables, and I'm pointing my fingers and, saying loud, assertive shit. And I think you'd brought up irony before. I think maybe this isn't irony, but I think it was ironic that I was emphatically just trying to tell everybody how to run the Taco Bell, and the Taco Bell had screeched to a fucking halt because I decided to have a meeting in the middle of the restaurant that day. So I'm not sure if I'm a good manager or not, but my wife was impressed.
Hey, that's all that really matters.
My future wife was impressed.
And isn't that all that really matters? I mean, not to get too basic, but I mean, for the most part, we exist to spread our seed, right? I mean, a basic, just very basic genetic drive. Like, you are born in order to create... Well, you're born to ultimately create another version of yourself, but you're not even smart enough to know that's what you're doing. All you know is do the things that get the seed out there, whatever that is. And if a baby happens to pop up, hooray, but I don't care. I mean, like, genes are so stupid, they're like, you couldn't even tell them, go make a baby. All you could tell them is, spread yourself. And so, that's what you did. You saw an opportunity to, you know, get your seed out there. I mean, it's a very crude way of putting it, but, I mean, essentially... And that drive is so strong, it's even in people who are attracted to people with whom they cannot... mingle DNA in a biological sense to create life, but they still want to try. That is strong.
Well, you
right
know,
there.
The drive, the intention is to ejaculate. The result is to procreate.
Right. You nailed it. And that's what you did. You saw, okay, there's my window. She likes what she smells what the Joe is cooking. And I'm gonna take it to 11 and heat it up and make it. I'm gonna make that ninja learn.
Hey, I'm glad that you brought up. I just realized. Oh yeah, our theme today was gonna be like sex and relationships, and maybe you did that intentionally, but here we are. And you brought up taking it to 11 because this is our 11,000th. Episode.
It is.
And we're taking it to 11 like Spinal Tap.
That's right. And that's why the music seems really loud right now. How about you? I mean, can you hear it okay? Did I take this relaxing guitar music to 11? Is it too loud?
It sounds like it's at 11, but that's appropriate. It sounds good to me. So.
It's just, I feel like if I try to turn it down, YouTube gets upset. Oh, that's a bit louder.
We wouldn't want YouTube to get upset, or it's going to throw some douche commercial at us.
It usually does. Okay, that's a little bit quieter. I don't know how these controls work. We live in the post-ironic age, Joe. We've won, like, what, 15 awards for this podcast? 20 awards? Something like I lose count. They're just like, hey, here's another award. And I'm like, thanks, or whatever. And I won 3 awards for engineering. And I'm like, dude, you are pinning... medals on a monkey's butt, if I can quote my grandfather who used to say funny things like that. Not the one that you and I share, a different grandfather, but
I think you deserve every award, man.
Well, thank you for that. I appreciate it. I think you also deserve the reward of landing a wife, and out of respect, I'm not going to tell you anything other than the truth, which is she's a fine... human being, Joe. Well done. Mission accomplished.
Well, as is your wife. You know what? How'd you meet your wife?
That's also a funny story. Allison, as you are aware, is the daughter of a car wash magnate. Right? You've heard of shipping magnates. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right because I didn't queue up a YouTube video of a guy pronouncing it, but you've heard of shipping magnates and textile magnates and high velocity electronic magnates. Well, Allison's dad is a car wash magnate, and one day I was having an argument with a guy who runs a car wash about how, you know, the walls are very dirty, but I can't really clean them with water. I'm going to need something a little bit more je ne sais quoi, which is French for I don't know what. And he said to me, I'm going to call my boss's boss's owner's boss. And I said, whoa, slow down. Did you say owner? Somebody owns this person? He's like, it's a complicated relationship. It goes back to the 1800s and involves certain regions of South America and Africa. I don't really understand, but there's a magnate involved. And I said, well, you had me at magnate. I need to meet this man. But he wouldn't talk to me. He sent his daughter out and said, it was supposed to be some sort of like, you know, like he was trying to shame me, like, I send a woman to you, and therefore you see that I think of you as a woman. And I said, you're a hot piece of ass. You want to get married? She's like, damn straight I do. And boom, here we are.
Damn. And so she's the daughter of a car wash magnate. That's
not anymore. That's the funny part of the story. As soon as we got married, he absolved the relationship completely, redacted all documentation to that effect, had us step into one of those, what's that – the Discount of the Sunshiny Mind, Sunshine of the Super Happy Mind. What's it called, that movie? The Sunshine Mind?
Sunshine of the Eternal Spotless. Never mind.
Yeah, we had to step into one of those kinds of things and have our brains race completely. And now we live under the auspices that her dad is a nuclear test physician in Virginia somewhere. And I'm left to rediscovering the truth here in the post-ironic age only via making shit up. But it's true. It's 100% true, Joe. It's 100% true. That's how I met my wife.
Right. Well, and now you... You wash car washes, and the company that you work for, I believe, is called the Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Car Wash.
That's right.
Am I right?
Hey-o!
Yeah. Thanks, everybody.
Just like the Roman soldier some 2,000 years ago, Joe, you nailed it.
Oh, God.
Exegesis.
It's another first for this 11th episode.
Yeah.
About sex and relationships. We'll be talking to our first guest.
That's today. Correct.
And we'll be talking about sex and relationships.
Hey, speaking of, did we decide on intro music for him, or should we not use it? Because I know we toyed with the idea, but...
Oh, I think we should see our guest, and we brought him up before because he's at one point he was our only listener. I'm not sure if that's still the case. It might be, but Ian Sane, mm-hmm. Ian Sane, and sometimes we call him Ian Sane Clown Posse. Sometimes we call him Ian Sane in the Membrane. Mm-hmm. And I think we've got the right intro music for him. And when we spoke to him briefly,
which one did we decide on?
He was on board with that.
Which one did we decide on?
Insane in the Membrane.
That's right. Okay. Hopefully it won't start playing now that I've queued it up. Don't start playing, YouTube, just because I'm queuing it up. Wait a minute. I don't have to queue it up. He's not going to be on for a few minutes yet. Or
yeah,
20 minutes or so.
We'll bring him in the last segment or so of the show.
He's not our absolute only listener. And in as much as he's coming on the show... Which is funny because if he's our only listener, then now no one's listening who isn't on the show. We do have another person who occasionally sends me a tweeter tell me how bad we are at this, and I love him to pieces. And so I'm just going to throw this out there for him. Hey, biker guy, if you want to be on the show, we will also have you on. And we will let you pick your intro music, and we will not play it. We'll play something else. But if you forget I said that, it'll be funnier.
Yeah, let's do it. Okay. And I figure if we have all the listeners, if all the listeners suddenly are coming on the show, they won't have any time to shit on the show. Mm-hmm. Buzzing!
Buzzing.
See, that was part of the sex part of the show. They're coming on the show.
Oh, coming. I thought it was the...
I explained my joke.
I thought you were talking the shit part. I was like, Joe, we need to talk, because I know Taco Bell does some funny things to your head there, fella, but you should really, you know... Here's the thing about... No, I don't want to talk about this. Never mind. Moving on.
Okay.
I mean, I do want to talk about it. That's why I'm not going to. Post-ironic age. Let's get down to some brass tacks. If this show is about sex and relationships, I'd like to point out how sophisticated we are. You and I. Joseph Neal and Jason Mark, in terms of our podcasting acumen, which is a word I think I made up, but sounds like a real word. And it's that one of our past episodes was about the vagina.
Yes.
And today we're talking about sex. The vagina is not, you know, a synonym for sex. Those are two different things. Now, sometimes sex can involve a vagina, but it doesn't always have to. Mm-hmm. And
No, that's not necessary.
And
it's
sometimes...
Wonderful.
A vagina will be involved in sex, but sometimes vaginas do other things. So I'd like to point out that we're not, you know, a one-trick pony here. We're not repeating ourselves. We're talking about something completely different. And I think that maybe you should expound on this a little bit, Joe. Talk to me about sex that is not involving the vagina in terms of relationships.
Well, first of all, I'd like to say yes. Our themes are not redundant. They're not redundant.
And you know what? They're not redundant.
Redundant. Yes. Nice. Oh my God. I'm such a fucking idiot. Anyway, they're not redundant, like, say, a penis thrusting in and out of a vagina. That is redundant. It's a redundant motion.
Hang on a second now. I'm going to take you to task on this one.
Okay.
Is it redundant? The over and over again? Because isn't redundant, like, supposed to be along the lines of excessively repetitive? Like, I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm not telling you that I'm any kind of, like, Superman in the sack, but trust me, every stroke has a purpose. And when I am out
and
of strokes,
you wouldn't call it redundant, perhaps repetitive, but then briefly so.
I wouldn't even call it repetitive. I'd call it. You know, I mean, if there's anything that I am capable of doing in this world, Joe, it is that task until it's done and no more. I don't do more right. than is necessary.
Well, you were asking me, hey, Joe, can you describe AIDS, you know, sex that doesn't involve a vagina?
In terms of a relationship, yes.
Well, when I'm pumping somebody's face
Jesus.
For 3 hours.
Exegesis, Joseph.
That is redundant.
3 hours? That's not redundant. That's criminal.
Yes.
There is no way the other person enjoyed it or that you did not spend the kind of money that you should be sending to autism research. Are you shitting me, Joe? 3 hours?
I'm exaggerating.
Okay.
Two and a half is the max for pumping somebody's face.
Pumping somebody's face.
Yeah, we're staying away from vaginas here, and that's all I could come up with. I really feel like... comedically, I feel like I got nothing today, and you're saying things that make perfect sense, and I'm pausing and staring at the wall, and then and drooling, and that's all I can do.
Well,
so good luck to you, sir. I'm your co-host today. Congratulations.
Okay. Well, tell you what, Joe, I put you on the spot. You went the BJ route, and I got to say, your instincts are good. I don't have a problem with that at all. I tried to create a little frisson by, calling you out on it, but you follow through, and that's fine. When I think of sex that doesn't necessarily involve the vagina in term of relationships, of course, I'm thinking of tantric sex, which is another word for not sex. We're at 30 minutes past the hour. Maybe it's time to do some ads, because Ian's going to be on here in about 15 minutes or so. Do you want to do some ads?
Is there such a thing as tantric face pumping for 3 hours? Redundantly? Tantric face pumping? Would that work?
Well, that's the name
is
of
that
this
comedy?
Show. That's the name of today's episode. I'm writing that down now. Redundant.
Tantric.
Face
pumping?
Pumping. That's the name of episode 11. I'm putting it on this piece of paper right here. Okay.
Well, I've contributed something then, haven't I? Oh, man. But I'm certainly not a gentleman today. I think that's – we can cross that out. Okay.
All right. Let's see.
So you're talking about ads.
Yeah.
This time I'm sure that it is your turn to do an ad first.
You want me to go first? All right.
Yeah.
Oh, this is going to be challenging because the boys at Larco – I say boys, but there are women there as well. Although they're very manly women. So the boys, B-O-Y and B-O-I, they want me to do voices for this one. This is embarrassing. I should have practiced. Okay, let me find the – here's the copy. Let me kill the music because it's really not appropriate.
Is it going to be Irish accents and Mickey Mouse voices? Because we've been doing that lately.
Kind of.
Not successfully, but, you know, we can – it's going to be different, right? You're switching it up.
Yeah. Okay, here we go.
Do, 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 do. Lucky song dream time!
Did that sound okay? Did that come across right?
I didn't even think it was you. I thought it was a little cartoon that jumped out of the TV and was dancing around on the table here. So
okay.
Good job.
All right, good. I'm glad you heard it.
Lucky song dream time!
Hey, kids. Ever wonder what happens in the nursery after baby goes to sleep? Well, I'll tell you what happens. The toys and furniture come alive. Welcome to Larco's new cartoon show, Lucky Song Dreamtime, featuring a cast of funny little characters like Rob, the cradle.
Let's sleep together.
Harold, the hamper. I like dirty laundry. Professor Boner, the skeleton in the closet. Don't be scared, kiddos. Uncle Rocking Chair, come sit on my lap. Yeah. There you go. Nah, it's okay if you wriggle. Zimzaza, the diaper genie. I don't take no shit. Wait. Yeah, I do. Go ahead. Give me some of that shit. Tobias Tickletush, the tube of talking butt cream. I'm going to get all over your ass. And lots more. Tune in now to catch the first episode. Baby's skin is turning red because she's allergic to Rob the Cradle sheets. You making that baby squirm, Rob? You using some kind of cheap-ass North Korean laundry detergent? Gosh, I don't know. You gave that baby cribbage.
A cribbage?
That baby got cribbage. Are you listening to me, you broke-ass IKEA-looking piece of crap? Cribbage! I said cribbage!
Son of a ninja!
You can catch Lucky Song Dreamtime right now on Larco's proprietary streaming service, Heavy Stream, for an inexpensive subscription rate that will only cost you pennies per second. Park your toddler in front of the TV and pay way less than you'd have to shell out for a qualified caregiver. Come on, kids. It's time for bed. Don't you know? That's when all the real fun starts.
Lucky Song Dreamtime!
Oh, bravo. That was so vulgar and wrong in so many ways. Oh,
those
boy.
Fuckers at Larco, I think they work harder on the ads than they do on the products that we're actually selling. Jesus. Exit Jesus.
Whoa, man. Larco, week after week, Larco finds a new way to make my blood run cold and make me want to support their products. I can't help it. I'm behind it 100%.
Well, let's just point out that without ad revenue, this show wouldn't exist. And speaking of ads, Joe, you have one as well. Shall I play your ad intro?
Yeah, let's do it. I'm not an actor. My penis, however, is an actor. It's a real penis, but it also plays one on TV. Today, my penis and I will be talking about Viagra. You see, the folks at Viagra have asked me to give their product a try, timing the dosage so that I would be experiencing the effects of the medication as I record this advertisement. And let me tell you, you could fling a quarter off of this boner and it would stick into the ceiling. This raging penis looks like a bodybuilder's forearm and fist clutching a grapefruit. I'm not pitching a tent right now as much as I'm ripping a tent in half. Chubby is an understatement. I'd sooner call an immobile 500-pound man chubby. If I repeatedly slammed this erection in a car door, only the car itself would suffer damage. You might ask, okay, so Viagra will make my penis rock hard, but for how long? Well, I took some Viagra last night, and after 4 hours of quality time with your mother, she was screaming for less. You might then ask, okay, so Viagra will allow me to sustain an aggressive boner for hours on end, but will the quality of my orgasms be improved? Well, let me just respond by ejaculating. Side effects of Viagra may include dizziness, headaches, mild nausea, sleep disturbance, mood disturbance, general disturbance, continuous fucking, high decibel flatulence, Tourette's syndrome, mismatched socks and shoes, dry skin, hot flashes, ironic enjoyment of bad movies, runny nose, spontaneous tap dancing, flipper babies, spiritual awakening, anal seepage, bleeding eyes, bleeding balls, and bleeding eyeballs. Ask your doctor and his penis about Viagra today.
You are a gifted individual.
All right. I feel a little sheepish after that.
Sheep skinnish. I see what Pauline sees in you, dude. I mean, I don't want to get weird on you or anything, but I see what she sees in you. I do want to get weird on you. I see what she sees in you.
I take that as a huge compliment. Thank you, sir.
You know what I take as huge? Mm-hmm. Your talent.
Not the aggressive boner that I kept talking about?
Your boner.
You can't see it. That's all hearsay. You wouldn't know. If you saw it, you wouldn't be impressed. You'd be disgusted.
I am a student of the internet age. This is a true story. I was talking to a friend of mine. This was a long time ago. Not too terribly long ago, but within the internet age. And she seemed to be uncomfortable. There were a group of us there. We're fairly close, but not in a weird way. Anyway, she's one of these outspoken types, and I said, you seem uncomfortable, and she said, yeah, I've got some irritation down there. And I jokingly said, why don't you let me take a look at it? You know, ha ha ha, right? It's a man talking to a woman about her vagina. And she said, I think I know more about these things than you do. And I said, I'm on the internet every day. I've seen way more of those than you ever will. And she said, very good point. Very good point. But no, you can't look at it. So, 2 years later, we made out in a strip club in Las Vegas. I still didn't see her vagina. So, moral of the story is, kids, ask your doctor and his boner about Viagra today.
Thanks. Well, I think our sponsors are pleased.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry that you couldn't close the deal on seeing that vagina.
No, it was all good. It was one of those happy moments where I was, you know, as glad things turned out the way they did. I'm an older man than I was yesterday, and that's been true every day of my life since I was born. And with that comes wisdom. And hey, speaking of which, are you in communication with Ian? Can you send him a text saying 2-3 minutes and we'll bring him on? Does that work for you?
Yeah, that's about it. He's standing by. So cool, whenever cool. You're ready to give him a call, he's going to be ready to chat.
Cool. I just wanted to point out that in your ad, which again was awesome, you said that your penis isn't an actor, but it plays one on TV, which, you know, is funny because if your penis isn't an actor, but it plays one on TV, I mean, are you catching the irony there, Joe, of what you said?
Oh no, I think you might have, or maybe I didn't read it right, but the fact is, and this is true, my penis is an actor. It's a real penis, and it plays a penis on TV.
Oh, I thought, okay.
So my penis portrays a penis on TV, which is good. It doesn't have to do a whole lot of research on its role. It's just a cock. On television.
A cock on television. What TV? Is there a TV show that I watch? Is it The Young Pope? That's a good show. That's a real good show.
No. You know what? Just it's on HBO, which is where you can see most television cocks.
Yep.
And I almost said you recognize it when you see it, but you wouldn't, would you?
God help you if I do, Joe. And God help our grandmother.
Next time you watch an HBO and you go, oh my God, that dong is astonishing. Just think to yourself, that's probably Joe's cock.
Isn't that kind of like?
And you're probably right. And then you can call me and be like, "Hey, I was just watching Game of Thrones, episode 5, season 3." Hint. and I just saw this mind blowing ding dong, and you know, yeah, that was me. Well, that was my cock. He's an actor, professional actor. He doesn't have any lines.
He just shows up. I was going to say something about Game of Thrones and Cox and stuff, but I can't remember what it was. That's too bad. I was going to say we should bring Ian on, but I'm usually saying that because I can't remember what I was going to say. But goddamn it, I want to remember what I was going to say. Something about you work at Taco Bell. You're a well-respected manager. Hell, you're so good at your job, you got a wife out of the deal. What would you do, Joe, if one of your employees came up to you and said, "Hey, man, every time I see a magnificent cock on HBO, I think of my cousin"? What advice would you give to that young person who had that kind of pseudo obsession? I mean, what would you say?
I'd be speechless. And I know that you wanted me to maybe say something of... I don't know. I got nothing. If somebody told me that, I would... My jaw would drop, and I would stare right through their skull to whatever object was behind them, and they would have to say the next word, because I would have nothing. And, yeah.
Well, I guess...
Like I said, you're dealing with my empty skull today. I have very little.
Well, I guess this is what I'm getting at. I'm imagining me and my wife, who is 7 years younger than I am, sitting on our couch, watching Game of Thrones, and a scene comes on, and I go, hmm. And she goes, did you say hmm? And I say, yes, I said hmm. And she says, penny for your thoughts. And I say, I was just wondering if that's Joe's cock. And she looks at it, and she looks back at me, and she says, well, he's about my age, right? And I go, yeah. And she goes, hmm. Now, what would you do, Joe? Your wife, how old is your wife compared to you?
She's eight. Years younger than I.
She's 8 years younger than you. What would you do if you're very much younger than your wife?
I almost puked there for a second. I was thinking
pretty
of
weird.
Something else. Not my wife. I don't puke when I think my wife. She's great. But that's why I'm having trouble speaking. Hey, she's 8 years younger.
Yeah.
And your wife is 7 years younger.
Yeah, and I'm just asking you, what would you do if your 8 years younger than you wife looked at a cock on HBO and said, I wonder whose that is? Wouldn't you be like, it's mine? I mean...
No, I'd be like, show me the cock. Show me the cock, Pauline. And she'd be like, it's this cock right here on Game of Thrones. And then I'd be like, that cock is clearly 45 years old. What are you, fucking Jason?
And she'd say... now I'm going to be sick. Let's bring Ian on. What do you think?
Yeah, perfect.
If I am not mistaken, young Ian Sane is also quite a bit older than his wife. Is that right?
Yeah. We'll let him tell the story. We got to tell ours. He gets to tell his now.
Where the hell is this guy? All right. Add to group call. Let's see if he comes on.
Hey.
Hey.
Hey,
hey.
Hey.
Hey. Hey, everybody. It's Ian Sane in the house. Ian, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. We were just talking about our wives. You have one of those, don't you?
Just barely. Yeah, I've got one. She's good.
How long have you been married to your wife?
Oh, you're going to get me in trouble. No, it's a little over 2 years that we've been married and been together for about five.
That's so cute. So you haven't really started hating each other's guts yet. How much older than your wife are you, Ian?
7 years. 7 years older.
Holy crap.
What about you?
Well, we got a lot more in common than I thought. It's very similar to our stats. That is, Jason's 7 years older than his wife. I'm 8 years older than my wife. I've been with my wife for 5 years. I've been married to my wife for 2 years.
Neither of us invited the other to the wedding. That's embarrassing.
Yeah, and that is weird because Jason, maybe you know this. I think we've discussed it before, but Ian and I have known each other for a long time. Not as long as you and I have known each other.
I've known you your whole damn life, son.
Right,
I mean, cousin.
Right.
Yeah.
But Ian, I met Ian down on Payne Street in Sevierville.
Yeah. When you were 12, I think. You were in 7th grade and I was in 8th.
That's right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, when did you, just really quick, because we spent a lot of time in Sevierville together, Ian, when did you show up on Payne Street?
I showed up on Payne Street in 1990 in the 8th grade. And then I left in 1997 after my third and final failed attempt at 10th grade.
Okay. So you had a stretch.
Yeah, I was there for a while. Good. Yeah, enough to ruin me.
I have two questions for you, Ian, and I'll let you choose which one you answer.
All right.
You said third and final attempt at 10th grade, so I want to know what that means. And the other question is, how old was your wife the first time you had sex, and is that creepy? Go. Which one do you want to answer?
The first time I had sex with her?
With her. I'm sure she was of age. But the first time you had sex with somebody, how old was your wife at that time?
Oh, that's a good question. Let me think. She would have been 11.
Yeah. Or 10. You're a pervert.
She was. But you know what? But that doesn't count because there's the divide by two and add seven rule. So it's not a problem. As long as you get to the point where you hit that rule.
Wait a minute. Right? Divide by two and add what?
Okay, so you take your age,
yeah.
You divide it by two, and okay. You add seven. And okay. It's okay to date anybody that old or older.
That's the moral threshold.
Yeah, that's
And let's face it, it's not dating. We're talking about fucking.
That's still older than your wife was, Ian. If you're 7 years older than your wife, and she was 11, that means you were 18. Divide by two is nine. Add, but you said seven. That's 15. That's still. I've met 15-year-old girls, and you know, they're really good at running track. That's about it. I don't know. I mean,
man, you must have gone to school with some boring girls.
I did. I grew up in a.
All right, I don't like the direction this is going here. The fact is, Ian saying clown posse. Yes, my wife. The first time I had sex, my wife was way underage at that time, and that's just, oh my god, why do we even have to talk about that? But the first time I had sex with my wife, she had been an adult for quite some time. I feel just fine about it. People still call me a cradle robber, and I'm sure people have called you both that too, given the age disparity. But it was totally legal, and I think it was morally sound.
I think actually in my case, people were just relieved that I found somebody who could put up with me, so I didn't really take too much shit about it.
What is it about you, Ian, that people find it hard? Because I find you delightful, and if I was a woman and I was 7 years younger than you, I'd marry you right now. I would marry you 2 years ago. I'd date you for 3 years, and then I'd marry you, and we would have been together for 2 years. So what is it about you people don't like? Talk to me, Ian.
You've got me so tingly now, I don't know if I can even think of anything.
Last time we talked to Ian, you were not wearing pants, so I just want to make sure that's still the case.
Absolutely. No, okay. No pants, never again. And in answer to your other question, I just got kicked out of every high school I ever went to. So I got kicked out of three of them.
You answered both questions.
What?
You answered both questions. See how simpatico we are? And Joe will tell you what I think about that word. I think it was episode three. So it wasn't that you failed the 10th grade. You just got kicked out because you're a badass.
I wouldn't say that. I mean, the first time I forgot to go for several months. And then after that, I started coming badder ass through hanging out with the wrong people and being involved in the wrong things. But yeah.
One of the sure signs of a person being a badass is their use of the phrase "batter ass." And clearly,
I want to say that actually, though, I think you always did kind of have that bad boy thing going on. And honestly, there's nothing cooler and like more aloof and just distant and too cool for school than saying, "Oh yeah, I got kicked out of high school because I forgot to go for 3 months." Who gives a shit?
Who gives a shit?
The only thing that could have been cooler is if, you know, I don't know, if you were wearing a leather jacket and you took a drag of a cigarette after you said that to us.
Well, I mean, or if you beat up the principal, right? I think that counts too. But yeah, no.
Oh, fuck.
That would count.
Why'd you get kicked out of high school, young man? Because I beat up the principal?
No, of course I didn't beat up. I'm saying, like, that would be significantly cooler than forgetting to go. Like, I got kicked out because I beat up the principal. That would be a cool reason to get kicked out of school.
Ian, are you saying that the reason why your wife was attracted to you is because, unlike Joe, who was giving a vigorous speech to his employees at Taco Bell, she liked the fact that you could have beat up the principal, but instead you just forgot to go to school? Is that what was attracting her to you?
I think the thing that attracted my wife to me is the fact that ladies get their shit together. They're about 7 to 10 years younger than men do, and it takes us that much longer to get our heads out of our ass, and so we wind up with younger women.
Oh my god.
That's just true.
It's true. That's exactly what happened to me.
We pulled our heads out of our own asses and stick them up somebody else's. Hey-o!
That's between you and your wife, I guess.
Hey, tell you what, when we finally do have sex, I'll let you know.
Well, I'll tell you, that's not the way most people do it, but, you know, to each his own.
Well, Joe and I were talking earlier, and you'll hear this because you're the only person who listens to the podcast, about non-vaginal intercourse. So maybe that's a thing. I don't know.
Maybe non-vaginal intercourse is a thing? Yeah, it is.
It definitely is.
You know, Jason, I think you should give it a try at some point. I was talking to him about
Joe. I'm on the internet every day. I do non-vaginal sex constantly.
I'm talking about with another human being. Is there
a vagina in the room at the time, at least?
Virtually. There are several. And sometimes there are faces attached to them as well. Usually there aren't.
On several different screens.
That's right. I have five computers. Talk about it. Eating Viagra. Exegesis.
Like the architect's room in The Matrix, but all porn.
That's exactly right, yeah. Here's the thing about the word porn. It's not porn if it's the only thing you're looking at, right? I mean, you don't need a word to differentiate it from something else if there's no else.
Then it's just media?
Yeah, exactly.
I'm watching TV. It just happens to be a gangbang.
That's right. That's a good way to put it, because the gang is the gang of lovely human beings who are on the screens in front of me, and the conductor of the train, I guess, is me, because I'm the only one being banged.
Well, anyway, and it's all art, and, you know, all of those vaginas and penises are artists.
Yes.
Kind of like my cock. I was explaining earlier, Ian, that my penis is an actor. It's been featured on Game of Thrones.
It's true.
And it's funny, because it's... My penis is an actor. It's a real penis in real life, but it also plays one on television.
Oh yeah, you were the stunt cock for Tyrion, right?
Actually, his cock was the sword that big giant dude used to try to kill that other guy before that other guy killed him first, and then he crushed his head with his hands.
No, that would be my penis playing a sword. My penis always plays a penis. It's not like it can't do like method acting.
All right, Joe. I'm sorry, I'm going to lay down some knowledge for you. If you don't think that sword that guy was swinging around wasn't the biggest metaphorical cock on the show, then you need to go back to college, son, because that was a cock.
I don't even know what you're talking about, but I like the metaphor.
Yeah. Well. The theme today is sex and relationships, of course.
Yeah.
And that's easy, because we tend to go there all the time. And actually, if you guys don't mind, that's actually my argument for cancellation.
Oh, yeah.
Sex.
Shall we give that a
try?
Yeah.
Say again, Ian?
I said sex is your argument for cancellation?
No, but it's thematic. I think that we go... Well, here, give me an intro, and I'll explain it completely for you.
All right, I gotta kill the guitar music.
Sometimes.
I love...
That is better.
Welcome to another edition of JBC's Arguments for Cancellation. So, here's the thing. The whole episode this time, we've been talking about sex. And honestly... For large portions of every other show, we talk about sex, often in a vulgar way. You know, at one point I had a montage, like, listen to how many bad jokes we tell. And that was my argument for cancellation. Like, all these jokes are so bad. And this is kind of related, except they're not even jokes. It's just vulgar mention of sexuality and genitals. And, I mean, it's... It just happens way too much, and maybe we're not a one-trick pony, but maybe two or three tricks, and they're all getting real fucking tired.
Oh, you said trick.
Yeah. I didn't even do that on purpose. Thanks, Ian. And you guys will know what I'm talking about. And actually, I got started on this montage, and I only made it through a couple episodes. Now that we have 10 episodes, we're going to have to do like part two and part three of this over several shows. But I call it Sex Lies and Audio Tape. Hit it, Jason.
Say hit it, Jason, again, and then I'll... Oh, wait.
Roy's cock. Roy's cock.
Roy's cock.
Roy's cock is different. Roy's cock, if you'd like. Roy's cock.
Please do.
Her sitting on your lap, it wasn't about you trying to cop a feel or move on to the other tit.
You obviously know how to bag the ladies.
I do have a couple of balls, and I have a very impressive paddle. A woman with large breasts.
Ass I got. I would never feel up Kanye West without his express written permission.
Sexual harassment. The titty part? Tits.
Bunch of guys talking about tits.
Pull down your pants, grab your ankles, and put a dollop of Vaseline on your butt crack. Rape! Every dollop of Vaseline is an additional $50. Rape! Otherwise, it's just no lube. Just straight in the hole. Fucking take it.
When I choke the monkey, I'm masturbating. Wanna make out? Go jerk off. We're choking monkeys, we're killing cats, we're boiling bunnies, we're beating dead horses. I'm masturbating. If your corn has not been holed enough.
Going harmonica style on a 9-inch fucking ding-dong.
Post-nuptials. Connuptials. What's the word for
connubial? Fucking.
Hip deep in your bride and you're just ripping out butt tunes.
Fucking Bel Grande.
I'm masturbating. I'm masturbating.
I'm masturbating.
There we go. Well, so that's just part one. That's like the, you know, first couple episodes. It became overwhelming to try and continue to collect that. It would have been, we're going to have to break that up. But anyway, we rely on vulgarity in the realm of sex, like that topic, vulgar sex, just too much.
And, Jesus. Exegesis. Yeah. Should I make my meta comments before or after I play the outro?
After.
Okay, you've convinced me, Joe. Let's quit the show.
I think you just fucking convinced me.
Tell you what, Joe.
Sometimes dead is better.
That's right. Sometimes dead is better. I listen to these montages. Okay, I said it before. I'm going to say it again because I don't care. I'm redundant. I'm also repeating myself, and I've said this before, and I'm redundant. I feel like somebody's going to come along and say, "We really like your show, Beyonce. Get rid of Jason. You're coming with me, Joe, or Pink, or name your trio that turned into one person who got famous and other people got kicked to the side. It's going to be you, Joe. They're going to like, these montages are great. Get rid of that asshole you work with and come do something professional." That's my first comment. Here's my second comment. It's like, I listen to these montages you put together and you make a sound like, I mean, I know there are arguments for cancellation, but you make it sound like we're actually producing quality. Like, we're saying funny things. And maybe it takes an hour to come up with 3 seconds of something funny, but God damn it, Joe. Every time I listen to these montages, I think, we're actually pretty good at this. You're a genius.
Well, I disagree, and that's why I put them together. And it backfires, and you seem to really enjoy them, so that's great. But I'm saying, we've gone too far again. And I'll keep that up. We'll have sex, lies, and audio tape again, because it's a wealth of vulgar material.
It's beautiful. Well, what it is. Ian, your thoughts?
Well, I mean, I think you've got a whole separate problem and a whole separate reason you should cancel the show, which is, I mean, you, Jason, you've talked about how outcomes are binary and either things are really great or they're, you know, everything else and it's just sort of shit. And
I did? I said that?
You were talking about how there's the best and everything else, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I think your problem is, if you keep doing this, there's two ways it can go. One, you're going to get a little bit better and a little bit better. And then one day you're going to realize you have fans and listeners. And then you're going to start being a guest on other podcasts. And then you're going to make radio appearances and then be on TV. And then you'll build a personal brand. And then you'll do a college speaking tour. And you're going to get rich and famous. And things are inevitably going to spin out of control and come crashing down. And you're going to wind up all alone standing on a 20th story balcony, dressed in a hotel bathrobe and swinging a bottle of Maker's Mark and wondering, why didn't stop all this at episode 10? And you're going to look down and say, sometimes dead is better. and then it could go the other way, which is you just kind of keep fumbling your way through it and just kind of spend your whole life being, right? So
okay. Okay. I very much like the latter version better. However, I think in the first version, my big question to you, Ian, is where along that line do I get to meet Katy Perry? Does that happen in that? Like, if you're telling me my trajectory is from today to hotel bathrobe Maker's Mark suicide, but in between I get to meet Katy Perry, I'm thinking,
baby.
Yeah, no. In between, you definitely meet Katy Perry, but it all goes terribly wrong. Probably winds up as like the lyrics for a sad song that she does on whatever they do instead of MTV these days.
Do you know what kind of humiliating things I would do to myself if it meant Katy Perry sang a song about me? And not that fucking fireworks song either. I'm talking about something deep and meaningful. Do you know what I would do to myself? Oh, Jesus. Oh,
it sounds like you'd swig that maker's mark on the hotel balcony.
Goddamn right I would. There's a liquor store 3 miles from my house. I got to go, guys. We're done. We're done with today's show.
Ian, you got me thinking of, oh my God, I just thought of another problem. We're kind of still on arguments for cancellation here, but I just realized, oh my God, like maybe all of the fact that we shit on our show all the time is the best part of the show. And so then the show where I'm finally satisfied with that, and I say, Jason goes, are we going to do arguments for cancellation? And I go, no, I'm feeling pretty good about the show. That show is going to suck so bad that it will be the end of the fucking show anyway, because we will have stopped talking shit about the show, which was the funniest part of the show.
Yeah, that's because whenever you stop hating yourself, you stop making anything worth talking about, right?
That's my fear, yes. You know what I do like, though, Jason? You were saying, hey, somebody's going to come and, take me out of the band and I'll have a solo career.
Yeah.
And that makes me Beyonce, and that makes you guys, who I like to call the other two black chicks.
Well, I'll tell you what, we are at the end of the show. And so speaking as a black chick, I'd like to say that I'm fine with that. Beyonce, I wish you all success in the world, because I will still be able to go to parties and say, oh, her, what happened without me? Oh.
Yeah, we'll have enough to retire comfortably and have fun with Jay-Z.
That's right.
Well, Ian, I feel like we should have brought you on a little bit earlier. It was very fun and very brief.
It was fun.
We'll do this again sometime.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, look, it's Royce Cock. Wait, Royce Cock. No, wait, Royce Cock. Royce Cop. That was a callback to the montage, the little bit of clever there. Joe, anything you want to say in closing?
I would like to say good day to Ian Sane.
And good day to you, sirs.
Yes. And we will bring you back on the show very soon. And I hope that as our one listener, you will tomorrow listen to this fucking show.
Yeah,
I'll
Ian, thanks.
For 45 minutes.
Thanks for coming on. Thanks for all your kind words. Thanks for your patronage. Thanks for the stories. Thanks for sharing. Thanks for not wearing pants today. I want to thank you for some other things that I can't think of right now because I've had 3 beers and we're at the end of the show, so my brain's fried. But I can always put them in post. So, Ian, you know what? As our guest, I'm going to give you the last word before I turn the volume up too high and then try to fix it later.
You know what? I'll save it for all my criticisms that I send tomorrow. So I'll just tell you how terrible all this is later.
I can't wait.
Have a good night, guys.
Good evening, y'all. Enjoy your Viagra.
All right, I stopped recording.
Okay, then.
Wait, no, I didn't.
Well, that was fun. I hope I didn't ruin your show.